The theater, the theater.
Am I supposed to work with that damn understudy snooping around in the wings?
You want to know what the theater is?
To get up and do a play is the most amazing thing that I've ever done as an actor.
Forever there's magic, make-believe, and an audience there's theater.
Welcome to L.A. Theater Works, The Play's the Thing. I'm Susan Lowenberg. Join us tonight for Brighton Beach Memoirs, Neil Simon's darkly funny look at his family in 1930s Brooklyn. 14-year-old Eugene is equally preoccupied by his passion for the Yankees and his lust for his beautiful cousin Nora. But his comic growing pains contrast with the darker issues troubling his family: poverty, illness, and the Nazi threat to relatives in Europe. Max Casella, Valerie Harper, Jonathan Silverman, and Joyce Van Patten star in tonight's show. So relax and enjoy. You've got the best seat in the house for Neil Simon's Brighton Beach Memoirs.
One out, a man on second, bottom of the seventh. Two balls, no strikes. Ruffing checks the runner on second, gets the sign from Dickey. Ruffing stretches, roughing pitches. Caught the inside corner, steal right one. Atta baby, no hitter up there. One out, a man on second. Bottom of the seventh, two balls, one strike. Ruffing checks the runner on second, gets the sign from Dickey. Ruffing stretches, roughing pitches. Lone outside, ball three.
I told that boy 109 times.
Eugene, stop banging the wall.
In a minute, Ma. This is for the World Series.
Second,
seventh,
three balls, one strike. Ruffing stretches, ruffing pitches.
Can't he do that someplace
else?
I'll break his arm. That's where he'll do it.
Eugene, I'm not going to tell you again. Do you hear me?
It's the last batter, Mom. Mel Ott is up. It's a crucial moment in World Series history.
Your Aunt Blanche has a splitting headache.
I don't want him to stop playing. It's just the banging.
He always does it when I'm studying. I have a big test in history tomorrow.
One pitch, Mom. I think I can get him to pop up. I have my stuff today.
Your father will give you plenty of stuff when he comes home. You hear?
All right, all right.
I want you inside. Now, put out the water glasses.
I can do that.
Why, is his arm broken?
And I don't want to hear any back talk. You hear?
Attention, ladies and gentlemen. Today's game will be delayed because of my Aunt Blanche's headache.
Blanche, that's enough sewing today. That's all I need is for you to go blind.
I just have this one edge to finish. Lori, darling, help your Aunt Kate with the dishes.
Two more pages, all right, Ma? I have to finish the Macedonian Wars.
Always studying that one. She's going to have some head on her shoulders.
Eugene!
I'm coming!
And wash your hands.
They're clean. I'm wearing a glove.
I hate my name. Eugene Morris Jerome. It is the second worst name ever given to a male child. The first worst is Haskell Fleischman. How am I ever going to play for the Yankees with a name like Eugene Morris Jerome? You have to be a Joe or a Tony or Frankie. If only I was born Italian. All the best Yankees are Italian. My mother makes spaghetti with ketchup. What chance do I have?
I'm almost through, Ma.
All right, darling. Don't get up too quickly.
You're better color today, Lori. Did you get a little sun this morning?
I walked down to the beach.
Very slowly, I hope.
Yes, Ma.
That's good.
She gets all this special treatment because the doctors say she has kind of a flutter in her heart. I got hit with a baseball right in the back of the skull. I saw two of everything for a week, and I still had to carry a block of ice home every afternoon. Girls are treated like queens. Maybe that's what I should have been born. An Italian girl.
Eugene!
What?
How many times have I told you not to leave your things around the house?
109.
What?
You said yesterday I told you 109 times not to leave your things around the
house.
Don't
be fresh to your mother, Jean.
Was I fresh? I swear to God, that's what she said to me yesterday. One day I'm going to put all this in a book or a play. I'm going to be a writer like Ring Lardner or somebody. That's if things don't work out first with the Yankees. Or the Cubs. Or the Red Sox. Or maybe possibly the Tigers. If I get down to the St. Louis Browns, then I'll definitely be a writer.
Mom, can I have a glass of lemonade?
It'll spoil your dinner, darling.
A small glass. It couldn't hurt her.
All right. In a minute, Angel.
I'll get it. I'm going to the kitchen anyway.
Can you believe that? She'd better have a bad heart or I'm going to kill her one day. Listen, I hope you don't repeat this to anybody. What I'm telling you are my secret memoirs. It's called The Unbelievable, Fantastic, and Completely Private Thoughts of I, Eugene Morris Jerome, in this, the 15th year of his life, in the year 1937, in the community of Brighton Beach, Borough of Brooklyn, Kings County, City of New York, Empire State of the American Nation.
A roller skate on my kitchen floor? Do you want me dead? Is that what you want?
I didn't leave it there.
No, then who? Lori? Aunt Blanche? Did you ever see them on skates? Take this upstairs. Come here.
Don't hit my skull. I have a concussion.
What would you tell your father if he came home and I was dead on the kitchen floor?
I'd say, don't go in the kitchen, Pa.
Get upstairs. And don't come down with dirty hands.
You see why I want to write all this down? In case I grow up all twisted and warped, the world will know why.
He's a boy. He's young. You should be glad he's healthy and active. Before the doctors found out what Lori had, she was the same way.
Oh, never. Girls are different. When you and I were girls, we kept the house spotless. It was Ben and Ezra who drove Mama crazy. I've always been like that. I have to have things clean. Just like Mama, the day they packed up and left the house in Russia, she cleaned the place from top to bottom. She said no matter what the Cossacks did to us, when they broke into her house, they would have respect for the Jews.
Who are the Cossacks?
Same filthy bunch as live across the street.
Across the street? You mean the Murphys?
All of them.
The Murphys are Russian?
The mother is nice. She's been very sweet to me.
Her windows are so filthy, I thought she had black curtains hanging inside.
Oh, I was in their house. It was very neat. Nobody could be as clean as you.
What business did you have in their house?
She invited me to tea.
To meet that drunken son of hers?
No, just the two of us.
I'm living here 7 years. She never invited me for tea. Because she knows your situation. I know their kind. Remember what Mama used to tell us. Stay on your own side of the street. That's what they have gutters for.
That's what they have gutters for. If my mother knew I was writing all this down, she would stuff me like one of her chickens. I'd better explain what she meant by Aunt Blanche's situation. You see, her husband, Uncle Dave, died 6 years ago from this thing. They never say the word. They always whisper it. It was cancer. I think they're afraid if they said it out loud, God would say, I heard that. You said the dread disease. Just for that, I smite you down with it. There are some things that grown-ups just won't discuss. For example, my grandfather, he died from diphtheria. Anyway, after Uncle Dave died, he left Aunt Blanche with no money, not even insurance. And she couldn't support herself because she has asthma. So my big-hearted mother insisted that we take her and her kids in to live with us. So they broke up our room into two small rooms, and me and my brother Stan live on this side, and Lori and her sister Nora live on the other side. My father thought it would just be temporary, but it's been 3.5 years so far. And I think because of Aunt Blanche's situation, my father is developing high blood pressure.
Have some lemonade, dear.
Oh, thank you, Aunt Kate.
Drink it slowly.
I am.
Blanche, that's enough already since 7 o'clock this morning.
I was just stopping.
You'll throw your fingers together.
It's getting dark anyway. Oh, I think I need new glasses.
Our teacher said you should change them every 2 years.
Would it kill you, Blanche, to put a light on?
I don't have to run up electric bills. I owe you and Jack enough as it is.
Have I asked you for anything? You see anybody starving around here? If I go hungry, you'll give me something.
Kate, I'm going to pay you and Jack back someday. I don't know when, but I keep my word.
From your lips to the Irish sweepstakes. Go in and taste the soup, huh? See if it needs salt.
All right. Should I put out the water glasses, or is Eugene going to do it?
Eugene! It's the last time I'm going to tell you. Just do the napkins, darling.
Because of her condition, I have to do twice as much work around here. Boy, if I could just make the Yankees, I'd be in St. Petersburg this winter. Her sister Nora isn't too bad. She's 16. I don't mind her much. At least she's not too bad to look at. To be absolutely honest, this is the year I started noticing girls that weren't too bad to look at. Nora started developing about 8 months ago. I have the exact date written in my diary.
Mom! Lori! Aunt Kate! I've got incredible news, everybody!
Hi, Nora.
Eugene, my sweet, adorable, handsome cousin. Wait till I tell you what's happened to me. Ugh. I'm fainting. I'm absolutely fainting.
I felt her chest. When she grabbed me, I felt my first chest.
I can't believe this whole day.
Yeah, what happened?
Where's Mom? Aunt Kate, I have to tell everyone. Everybody inside for the big news.
What's all the excitement?
You're all red in the face.
Sit down, Mom, because I don't want you fainting on the floor.
Sit down.
You too, Aunt Kate, okay? Is everybody ready?
You stop dragging it out. The suspense is killing me.
Don't say things like
that,
Laurie.
Can I hear what the girl has to say? Go ahead, darling.
Okay. Here goes. I'm going to be in a Broadway show. It's a musical called Abracadabra. This man, Mr. Beckman, he's a producer, came to our dancing class this afternoon and he picked out three girls. We have to be at the Hudson Theater on Monday morning at 10 o'clock to audition for the dance director. But on the way out, he took me aside and said the job was as good as mine. I have to call him tomorrow. I may have to go into town to talk to him about it. They start rehearsing a week from Monday, and then it goes to Philadelphia, Wilmington, and Washington, and then it comes to New York in the second week in December. There are 9 big musical numbers, and there's going to be a big tank on stage that you can see through, and the big finale all takes place with the entire cast all underwater. I mean, can you believe it? I'm going to be in a Broadway show, Mama!
What is she talking about, Kate? Do I know? Am I her mother?
How can you be in a show? Don't you have to sing and act?
I can sing.
No, you can't.
A little.
No, you can't.
I can carry a tune.
No, you can't.
Well, I probably won't have to. They're just looking for dancers.
On Broadway, you have to sing and act.
How do you know? You never saw a Broadway
show.
Did
you tell him how old you are?
He didn't ask me.
He didn't ask if you were 16.
He just asked me to audition. My God, isn't anybody excited?
I am. I think it's the most fantastic thing I ever heard.
Thanks, Eugene. I'm glad somebody's excited.
My God, I'll be sleeping right next door to a showgirl.
How can you go to Philadelphia? What about school?
School? Mama, this is a Broadway show. This is what I want to do with my life. Algebra and English isn't going to help me on the stage.
Art.
Will you stay out of this?
You mean not finish school? Not get a diploma? Do you know how hard it is today for a girl to get a good job without a high school diploma?
But I got a job, and I'll be making more money than 10 girls with diplomas.
You don't have it yet. You still have to audition.
It's as good as mine. Mr. Beckman told me.
And what if you, God forbid, broke a leg or got heavy? How long do you think they'll keep you? Dancing is just for a few years. A diploma is forever. I know. I never had one. I know how hard it is to find a decent job. Aunt Kate knows. Tell her, Kate.
It's very hard.
Then why did you send me to dancing school for 3 years? Why do I spend 2 hours a day on a subway, 4 days a week after school, with money that you make going half blind over a broken sewing machine? Why, Mama?
Because it is my pleasure. Because I know how you love it. Because you asked me.
Then I'm asking you something else, Mama. Let me do something for you now. I could be making almost $60 a week, maybe even more. In 2 years, when I get out of high school, I couldn't make that much with a college diploma.
I can't think now. It's almost dinner time. Uncle Jack will be home soon. We'll discuss it later.
I have to know now, Mama. I have to call Mr. Beckman and let him know if I can go to the audition on Monday. At least let me audition. Let me find out first if they think I'm good enough. Please don't say no until Monday.
It was a tense moment for everybody. I love tense moments. Especially when I'm not the one they're all tense about.
Well, God knows, we can use the money. We all owe Aunt Kate and Uncle Jack enough as it is. I think that they have as much to say in this as I do. How do you feel about this, Kate?
Me? I never voted before in my life. Why should I start with my own family? I have to heat up the potatoes.
Then we'll leave it up to Uncle Jack. We'll let him make the decision.
Why, Mama? I love him, but he's not my father.
Because I need help. Because I don't always know what the right thing to do is. Because I say so, that's why.
Eugene M. Jerome of New York casts one vote for yes.
What I'm about to tell you next is so secret and private that I've left instructions for my memoirs not to be opened until 30 years after my death. I, Eugene M. Jerome, have committed a mortal sin by lusting after my cousin Nora. I can tell you all this now because I'll be dead when you're reading it. If I had my choice between a tryout with the Yankees and actually seeing her bare breasts for 2.5 seconds, I would have some serious thinking to do.
I need bread.
What?
I don't have enough bread. Run across the street to Greenblatt's and get a fresh rye bread.
I went to the store this morning. Want me to go again?
You'll go again this afternoon.
I'm always going to the store. When I grow up, that's all I'll be trained to do, go to the store.
You don't want to go? Never mind. I'll go.
Don't do that. Don't make me feel guilty. I'll go.
And get a quarter pound of butter.
I bought a quarter pound of butter this morning. Why don't you buy a half a pound at a time?
And suppose the house burned down this afternoon. Why do I need an extra quarter pound of butter?
If my mother taught logic in high school, this would be some weird country.
So, what are you gonna do?
I don't know. Leave me alone. Don't just sit there watching me.
It's my room as much as yours. I don't have to leave if I don't want to.
Do you have to stare at me? Can't I have any privacy?
I'm staring into space. I can't help it if your body interferes. I bet you're worried.
How would you feel if your entire life depended on what your Uncle Jack decided? God, I wish Daddy were alive.
He would have said no. He was really strict.
Not with me. I mean, he was strict, but he was fair. If he said no, he always gave you a good reason. He always talked things out. Wish you could call him somewhere now and ask him what to do. 1 3-minute call to heaven is all I ask.
Ask Mom. She talks to him every night.
Who told you that?
She did. Every night before she goes to bed, she puts his picture on her pillow and talks to him. Then she pulls the blanket halfway up and the picture goes to sleep.
She does not.
She does, too. Last year when I had the big fever, I slept in bed with both of them. In the middle of the night, my face fell on his picture and I cut my nose.
She never told me that. That's weird.
I can't remember him much anymore. I used to remember him real good. But now he disappears a little bit every day.
Oh, God, he was so handsome. He always dressed so dapper, his shoes always shined. I always thought he should have been a movie star like Gary Cooper. Only very short. Mostly I remember his pockets.
His pockets?
When I was 6 or 7, he always brought me home a little surprise, like a Hershey or a top. He'd tell me to go get it in his coat pocket, so I'd run to the closet and I'd put my hand in and it felt as big as a tent.
Yeah.
I wanted to crawl in there and go to sleep. There were all these terrific things in there, like juicy fruit gum or spearmint lifesavers and bits of cellophane and crumbled pieces of tobacco and movie stubs and nickels and pennies and rubber bands and paper clips and his gray suede gloves that he wore in the wintertime.
With the stitch lines down the fingers. I remember.
Then I found his coat in Mom's closet and I put my hand in the pocket. Everything was gone. It was empty and dry cleaned and it felt cold. That's when I knew he was really dead. God, I wish we had our own place to live. I hate being a boarder.
Me too.
Listen, let's make a pact. The first one who makes enough money promises not to spend any on herself, but saves it all to get a house for you and me and Mom.
But what?
That means every penny we get from now on we save for the house. We can't buy anything. No lipstick or magazines or nail polish or bubble gum. Nothing. Is it a pact?
What about the movies?
Movies too.
Starting when?
Starting today. Starting right now.
Can we start Sunday? I want to see The Thin Man.
Who's in it?
William Powell and Myrna Loy.
Okay. Starting Sunday, I'll go with you Saturday.
Okay.
Sid Luckman of Columbia waits for the snap from center. The snow was coming down in a near blizzard. He gets it. He fades back. He passes. And Luckman's got it! Luckman catches his own pass! He's on the 50, the 40, the 30, the 20... It's a touchdown! Columbia wins! They defeat the mighty Crimson of Harvard 13-12. Listen to that crowd. Woo-hoo!
Eugene, stop that yelling! I have a cake in the oven!
Hey, Eugene.
Hiya, Stan. My brother, Stan. He's okay. You'll like him. What are you doing home so early?
Is Pop home yet?
No. Did you ask about the tickets?
What tickets?
For the Yankee game. You said your boss knew this guy who could get passes. You didn't ask him?
Me and my boss had other things to talk about. I'm in trouble, Huge. I mean, really big trouble.
This really shocked me, because Stan is the kind of guy who could talk himself out of any kind of trouble. What kind of trouble?
I got fired today.
Fired? You mean for good?
You don't get fired temporarily. It's permanent. It's a lifetime firing.
Why? What happened?
It was on account of Andrew, the colored guy who sweeps up. Well, he was cleaning the floor in the stockroom, and he lays his broom against the table to put some junk in the trash can, and the broom slips. Knocks over a can of linseed oil over the table, ruins three brand new hats out of the box. $9 Stetsons. It wasn't his fault. He didn't put the linseed oil there, right?
Right, right.
So Mr. Stroheim sees the oily hats, and he gets crazy. He says to Andrew the hats are going to have to come out of his salary. $27. So Andrew starts to cry.
He cried?
42 years old. He's bawling all over the stockroom. I mean, the man hasn't got too much furniture upstairs anyway, but he's real sweet. He brings me coffee, always laughing, telling me jokes. I never understand them, but I laugh anyway, make him feel good, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I said to Mr. Stroheim, I didn't think that was fair. It wasn't Andrew's fault.
You said that to him?
Sure. Why not? So Mr. Stroheim says, you want to pay for the hats, Big Mouth? So I said, no, I don't want to pay for the hats. So he says, then mind your own business, Big Mouth.
Holy mackerel.
So Mr. Stroheim looks at me like machine gun bullets are coming out of his eyes. And then he calmly sends Andrew over to the factory to pick up three new hats, which is usually my job. So guess what Mr. Stroheim tells me what to do?
What?
He tells me to sweep up. He says, for this week, I'm the cleaning man.
I can't believe it.
Everybody is watching me now, waiting to see what I'm going to do. Even Andrew stopped crying and watched.
Uh-huh.
I felt the dignity of everyone who worked in that store was in my hands.
Yeah.
So I grit my teeth, and I pick up the broom. And there's this big pile of dirt right in the middle of the floor.
Yeah?
And I sweep it all over Mr. Stroheim's shoes. Andrew had just finished shining them this morning, if you want to talk about irony.
I'm dying. I'm actually dying.
Oh, you can see everyone in the place is about to bust a gut. Mrs. Mulcahy, the bookkeeper, can hardly keep her false teeth in her mouth. Andrew's eyes are hanging 5 inches out of their socket.
This is the greatest story in the history of the world.
So Mr. Stroheim grabs me, pulls me into his back office, closes the door, and pulls down the shades. He gives me this whole story how he was brought up in Germany to respect his superiors. That if he ever did such a thing like you do, they would beat me in their cup until they carried me away dead.
That's perfect. You got him down perfect.
And I say, yeah, but we're not in Germany, old buddy.
You said that to him?
No, to myself. I didn't want to go too far.
I was wondering.
Anyway, he says he always liked me, and he always thought I was a good boy, and that he was going to give me one more chance. He wants a letter of apology. And if the letter of apology isn't on his desk by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, I can consider myself fired.
I would have had a heart attack. What did you say?
I said I was not going to apologize if Andrew still had to pay for the hats. He said that was between him and Andrew, and that he expected the letter from me in the morning. I said good night, walked out of his office, got my hat, and went home. 10 minutes early.
I'm sweating. I swear to God, I'm sweating.
I don't know why I did it, but I got so mad. It just wasn't fair. I mean, if you give in when you're 18 and a half, you'll give in for the rest of your life, don't you think?
I suppose so. So what's the decision? Are you going to write the letter?
No.
Positively?
Positively. Except I'll have to discuss it with Pop. I know we need the money, but he told me once, you always have to do what you think is right in this world and stand up for your principles.
And what if he says he thinks you're wrong, that you should write the letter?
He won't. He's going to leave it up to me, I know it.
But what if he says write the letter?
Well, that's something we won't know until after dinner, will we?
All in all, it was shaping up to be one heck of a dinner. I'll say this, though. I always had this two-way thing about my brother. Either I worshipped the ground he walked on, or I hated him so much I wanted to kill him. I guess you know how I feel about him today.
All day it takes to bring home bread. Give Aunt Blanche the butter. She's waiting for
it. I was home a half hour ago. I was talking to Stan.
Hey, you got a letter from Rosalind Wiener. Remember her? She moved to Manhattan. They live up on Central Park West.
Why not? Her father's a gangster. Her mother is worse. Don't I get a kiss hello?
Nope. I was going to save it up and give you a giant one for Christmas.
We don't have Christmas. I'll take it now, thank you. A hug, too. When do I ever get a hug from you? You must have done something wrong.
You're too smart for me, Mom. I robbed a barbershop today.
Is that why you look so tired? You don't get enough sleep. Running around all night with your 200 girlfriends.
130. That's all I have, 130.
How do you get any work done?
I get it done.
And your boss doesn't say anything to you about being tired?
About being tired? No, he doesn't.
Did you ask him about Thursday?
What?
You were going to ask him about getting paid this Thursday so I can pay Greenblatt's on Friday.
Oh,
Saturday is a holiday.
I forgot. I'll ask him tomorrow.
If it's a problem, don't ask him. Yeah, Greenblatt can wait. Your boss is more important.
That's not true. My boss isn't any more important than Mr. Greenblatt.
Oh, God. As if things weren't bad enough, and now this. The ultimate tragedy. Liver and cabbage for dinner. A Jewish medieval torture. My friend, Marty Gregorio, an A student in science, told me that cooked cabbage can be smelled farther than sound traveling for 7 minutes. If these memoirs are never finished, you'll know it's because I gagged to death one night in the middle of supper. You're all witnesses. I was sitting here, right? But I'll get blamed for that anyway.
I'm all right. Just let me sit.
Okay, listen. Didn't I tell you to get out of that hot kitchen? I can't breathe in there, and I don't have asthma. Now, calm down. Lori! Nora! Come help your mother!
I'm sick about the plates. I'll replace them. Don't worry about the plates.
Plates I can always get. I only have one sister.
What happened?
I'm all right. Don't run, Lori!
It's another asthma attack.
Yeah, it's the second one this week. Nora, maybe you better get the doctor.
I don't need doctors.
There's no climate for you near the beach. What you need is someplace dry.
Should I get the doctor?
No doctors. It's better.
Okay.
It's going away.
Good.
I can still hear the whistle.
Will you shut up?
Help Aunt Kate. In the kitchen, Nora, I broke her good plate.
Stop, please, never mind. Eugene will do it. Nora, go up and get your mother's medicine. Lori, you sit here, quiet.
Okay.
By your mother, watch her. You look pale as a ghost. Eugene, come in, help me!
A minute, Ma, Pop's home.
I would now like to introduce my father, a real hard worker. He was born at the age of 42.
Hi, Pop. How you doing, Pop?
How am I doing?
Let me carry these boxes for you, Pop.
They're too heavy. You'll hurt yourself.
No, I can do it easy. I just have to get a good grip.
Yeah, I want to sit a few minutes.
Are you okay, Pop?
I'm resting, that's all. Get me a glass of cold water.
I'll be out for the other box in a minute, Pop.
I don't know how he does it. King Kong couldn't lift these. You know what's in here? Noisemakers and party favors. Pop sells them to nightclubs and hotels after he gets through every day with his regular work, which is cutting material for ladies' raincoats.
Did you do your homework today?
Not all of it. Mom sent me to the store 15 times. Amos and Andy's on tonight.
Do your homework, then we'll discuss Amos and Andy.
Here's your medicine, Mom. Lori, go get some water.
Lori shouldn't be running.
Yeah. I'll get it, Nora.
I'm sure you don't mind.
No trouble at all.
2.5 seconds. That's all I ask.
When are you going to speak to Uncle Jack, Mom?
When I speak to him. That's when I'll speak to him.
Tonight? I have to know tonight.
I'll see. If he's not too tired, I'll talk to him tonight.
Jack's home. We'll eat in 10 minutes.
Nora, darling, go get Stanley. How's your mother, Lori?
Much better. The whistling stopped.
Jack, what's wrong? Eugene said you were holding your chest.
I wasn't holding my chest.
You have to carry that box every day, back and forth to the city. You don't work hard enough, Jack.
You want the box? It's yours. Keep it. I don't need it anymore.
What do you mean?
Delmar's party favors went out of business. They closed him out. The man is bankrupt.
Oh, my God.
He never even warned me it was coming.
You told me he lived up on Riverside Drive with a view of the river. A $300 a month apartment he had. A man like that.
Who are the ones you think go bankrupt? You live in a cold water flat on Delancey Street. Bankruptcy's the one thing God spares you.
All right. You can always find good in something. You don't have to lug that box anymore. You don't have to get up at 5:30 in the morning. We can all eat dinner at a decent hour. And you still have your job with Jacobson. We won't starve.
I can't make ends meet with what I make at Jacobson's. Not with 7 people to feed.
Shh, they'll hear you. We'll talk
later. I can't get by without that extra $25 a week. I can't pay rent and insurance and food and clothing for 7 people.
Jack.
Christmas and New Year's alone, I made $150.
Now, stop it, Jack. You'll only get yourself sick.
He didn't even pay me for the week, the bastard. 5 salesmen are laid off. He's going to a Broadway show tonight. I stuffed every hat and noisemaker I could carry in that box and walked out of there. At his funeral, I'll put on a pointy hat and blow a horn, the bastard.
Shh, don't talk like that. Something will come up. You'll go to temple this weekend. You'll pray all day Saturday.
There's men in that temple who've been praying for 40 years. You know how many prayers got to get answered before my turn comes up?
Your turn will come up. God has time for everybody.
Here's your water, Aunt Blanche.
Thank you, darling.
Oh, where's Nora?
She went up to call Stanley for dinner.
Hey, Lori, you want to take a walk on the beach tonight?
I have homework. What do you want to walk with me for?
Well, you, me, and Nora. I just felt like taking a walk.
I think Nora has a date with Larry Klerman.
Larry Klerman? She likes Larry Klerman?
I don't know. Ask her yourself.
Larry Klerman is my father's age.
He's 20.
Same thing. You think he's good looking?
I don't think anybody's good looking.
Larry Klerman? He doesn't even have a chin. His tie comes all the way up to his teeth.
Eugene, where is your father's water?
I'm coming. Now I've got Larry Klerman to contend with.
Here's your water, Pop. I put ice in it.
Don't drink so fast.
Do you have time to look at my sneakers, Pop?
What does he want to look at your sneakers for?
They have no soles. They're hanging on by a tiny piece of rubber. I have to clench my toes when I run out for a fly ball.
I bought you new sneakers last month.
Last year, Pa, not last month. I can only wear them 2 hours a day because my toes can't grow in them.
This is no time to talk to your father about sneakers. He's got enough on his mind. Turn the light down on the liver.
Okay.
We'll talk about this tonight. You'll eat a nice dinner, you'll relax, and when everybody's asleep, we'll figure things out calmly. I don't like it when you get upset.
I'm feeling better.
You think she'll ever get married?
Blanche?
She's not unattractive. I see men look at her on the beach. What does she want to waste her life in this house for?
She's raising two children.
Well, why doesn't she ever go out? If she wants to meet people, I know plenty of single men.
Blanche isn't the type to get married.
She was married once, wasn't she? Those are the type that get married.
Dave was different. She's not interested in other men.
Now, what about that Murphy fella across the street? He's plenty interested, believe
me. Drunk? The man can't find his way into the house at night. He slept in the doorway once, in the rain. He was there when I went out to get
him. He's got a good-paying job, lives alone with his mother, so he takes a drink on a Saturday night. Maybe what he needs is a good woman.
Not my sister. Let him meet someone lying in the next doorway. I don't want to discuss this anymore.
Come in.
Are you busy, Stanley? I wanted to talk to you.
That's funny, because I wanted to talk to you.
About what?
I need a favor. Real bad. You're the only one who could help me.
What is it?
Well, when Pop comes home tired, he doesn't usually pay too much attention to me and Eugene. He's different with you. He's always interested in what you have to say.
Really? I hope so.
Oh, sure. You never notice that?
Not really. What's the favor?
This may sound dumb, but at dinner, do you think you could steer the conversation in a certain direction?
What direction?
Well, something like how much you admire people who stand up for their principles.
What people?
Any people. Principles is the important word. If you could work it in 3 or 4 times, I'd be very grateful.
3 or 4 times?
It'll be easy. I'll mention someone like Abraham Lincoln, and you look up and say, now there's a man who really stood up for his principles.
I have my own things to bring up at dinner. I don't want to get into a discussion about Abraham Lincoln.
Not his whole life. Just his principles.
Why would I do such a stupid thing?
Because as of tomorrow, I'm unemployed. Unless someone besides me mentions sticking up for your principles.
What happened? Did you get fired?
I will be, unless I write Kaiser Wilhelm a letter of apology. It's really up to my old man. I decided to do whatever he tells me.
When are you going to ask him?
Tonight. Right
tonight?
After dinner.
Does it have to be tonight?
That's the deadline. I have to give my answer to Mr. Stroheim in the morning.
Couldn't you ask your father in the morning?
He gets up at 5:30. My mother has to line up his shoes at night because he can't make decisions at 5:30. What's wrong, Nora?
I don't know what you have to complain about. At least your father's alive and around the house to make decisions. You don't know when you're well off, Stanley. Sometimes you make me sick.
Chapter 7, The Infamous Dinner. It started out like a murder mystery in Blenheim Castle. No one said a word, but everyone looked suspicious. It was so quiet, you could hear Laurie's soup going down her esophagus. Everyone had one eye on their plate and the other eye on Pop, except me. I sat opposite Nora. I kept dropping my napkin a lot so I could bend down and get a good look at those virginal, creamy white legs. She was really deep in thought because she left herself unguarded a few times, and I got to see halfway up her thighs that led to the golden palace of the Himalayas.
Eugene, keep your napkin on your lap and stop daydreaming.
Stanley knew what I was doing because he's the one who taught it to me. But he was busy with his own problems like everyone else. You could hear the clock ticking in the kitchen. The tension in the air was so thick you could cut it with a knife, which is more than I could say for the liver.
Ketchup. Mustard. Pickles.
Thank you. Well, I'm through. I'll help with dessert.
Finish your liver.
I finished. You see liver on my plate?
You buried it under your mashed potatoes. I know your tricks. Look how Lori ate hers.
I had a major problem. One more bite and I would have thrown up on the table. That's a sight Nora would have remembered forever. A diversion was my only escape from humiliation. So, how's things down at Stroheim, Stanley? I felt bad about that, but for the moment, the tension had shifted away from my liver.
How long you been working there now?
Where?
At Stroheim's.
At Stroheim's? Let me see. Part-time, a year and a half before I graduated high school, and a year since then.
So what's that?
2.5 years, counting part-time.
And he likes you?
Who?
Mr. Stroheim.
Yeah, usually he likes me. Sometimes I'm not sure.
You come in on time?
Yeah.
You do your work?
Yeah.
You get along with the other people?
Yeah.
So why shouldn't he like you? How much are you making now?
$17 a week.
Well, it's time you moved up. Tomorrow you go in and ask him for a raise.
A raise?
A raise.
If you don't speak up, people take advantage of you. Tomorrow morning you go into his office. You're polite, you're respectful, but you're firm. You tell him you think you're worth another $5 a week.
$5?
He'll offer you $1.25, you settle for $2.50. I know how these things work. You're a high school graduate. He's lucky he's got you.
I don't think this is the time to ask him for a raise, Pop. I think his wife is very sick.
You afraid to ask him? You want me to take you by the hand and walk you into his office and say, my little boy wants a raise?
I'm not afraid.
Your father wouldn't ask you if he didn't think it was the right thing. Believe me, Stanley, now is the time to ask for it.
Ma, I think I have a bone in my throat.
There are no bones in liver.
So, what's new at dancing school, Nora?
Nothing is new. Mind your own business.
I'm just trying to introduce the subject.
I don't need your help. Tell her to be quiet, Mother.
Lori, you may be excused if you're finished.
What happened at dancing school?
Oh, Nora received a very nice compliment from her teacher. She said that Nora has professional potential.
He didn't say potential. Potential is the future. Mr. Beckman is interested in Nora's immediate present.
Isn't that something? Mr. Beckman is your teacher?
No. He's one of the most widely known and respected producers on Broadway.
Broadway? Imagine that. That's wonderful. Mm. And how are you doing in school otherwise?
I'm doing fine.
She's doing very well.
I wish I was as smart as she is.
Isn't that the same Mr. Beckman who's producing the great Broadway extravaganza Abracadabra? I hear if a girl gets hired for the chorus of a show like that, not only is her career practically guaranteed, but the experience she gains is equal to a 4-year college education.
Eugene, that's enough.
Only a 4-year college education is equal to a 4-year college education.
I don't think Abraham Lincoln went to college.
What about you, Lori? You feeling all right?
Yes, Uncle Jack.
You getting plenty of fresh air?
As much as I can hold in my lungs. Nora, did you tell Uncle Jack about the big tank that's filled with water?
Girls, why don't we just let Uncle Jack eat his dinner? And if we have something to discuss, we can discuss it later.
Somebody has something to discuss? If there's a problem, this is the time to bring it up. This is the family hour.
What a great idea for a radio show. The family hour. Every Wednesday night, you hear a different family eating dinner discussing their problems of the week. And you get to hear different recipes. WEAF presents Dinner at Brighton Beach, starring the Jacob Jerome family, and featuring tonight's specialty, liver and cabbage. Brought to you by X-Lax, the mild laxative.
The whole country's going to hear about a 15-year-old boy gagging on liver.
Nothing to discuss. Nobody has any problems. Otherwise, I want to turn on the news.
Well, as a matter of fact...
What?
Nothing.
I'll help with the dishes.
You sit there and finish your liver.
I can't swallow it. It won't go down. Remember the lima bean catastrophe last month? Does anybody want to see a repeat of that disgusting episode?
Why does he always talk like it's a Sherlock Holmes story?
He thinks he's a writer.
And what do you think you are?
Eat half of it.
Which half? They're both terrible.
A quarter of it. 2 bites.
1 bite.
2 bites.
I know you. If I eat 1 bite, you'll make me
Eugene.
Eat another bite. I'll take it to my room. I'll eat it tonight. I need time to chew it.
These are not times to waste food. If you didn't want it, Eugene, you shouldn't have taken it.
I didn't take it. They gave it to me. It comes attached to the plate.
It's so important to everybody. I'll eat your liver, Eugene.
You will?
He seems to be the only thing this family's worried about. Give me your liver so we can get on with the more important things in our lives.
Nora's right. Take the liver away. If nobody likes it, why do you make it?
Because we can't afford a roast beef for 7 people.
I suddenly felt vulgar and cheap.
Stanley, turn on the news.
Lori, get off your feet. You look tired to me.
Can I talk to you a minute, Pop? It's something really important.
Hmm. More important than what's going on in Europe?
It's not more important. It's just coming up soon.
I know myself. Hitler's already moved into Austria. In a couple of months, the whole world will be in it. What's the matter with this radio?
Someone's been fooling around with it, haven't they, Eugene?
Why, Eugene? Pop had the news on last night.
You weren't listening to the ball game this afternoon?
Talking about Poland. Damn it, I don't want anyone touching this radio anymore. You understand?
Guess who's going to get blamed for the war in Europe?
Eugene, bring in the knives and forks.
You really think there'll be war, Pop? I mean, America, too?
We're already in it. Not us, maybe, but friends, relatives. If you're Jewish, you've got a cousin suffering somewhere in the world.
Ida Kaczynski's family got out of Poland last month. The story she tells about what's going on there, you don't even want to hear.
How many relatives do we have in Europe?
Enough. Uncles, cousins. I have a great aunt. Your father has nephews.
I have a cousin, Sholem, in Poland. His whole family.
Dave had relatives in Warsaw. That's where his mother was born.
Mm. What if they got to America? Where would they live?
Who?
Your nephews. Mom's cousins and uncles. Would we take them in?
What God gives us to deal with, we deal with.
Where would we put them?
What are you worrying about things like that now for? Go upstairs and work on your speech.
What speech?
How are you going to ask Mr. Stroheim for a raise tomorrow?
Can I talk to you later, Pop? After you've rested and read your paper?
Lou Gehrig got 2 hits today. Larrabin Lou is hitting 302.
Is that your paper? How many times have I told you you don't read it until your father is finished?
I didn't break it. The print doesn't come off. I take a quick look at it.
Don't be fresh to your mother. Upstairs.
Pop?
Everybody.
I'll come down later, okay, Pop?
Come on, Stan. I have to talk to you anyway. You're a test.
Jack, maybe you should lie down, Jack. There's nothing in that paper that's going to cheer you up.
What would we do, Kate? Where would we put them if they got off the boat and knocked on our door? How would we feed them?
The boat didn't get here yet. I can't deal with boats that haven't landed yet.
Uncle Jack, I know you're tired and you have a lot of things on your mind, but the rest of my life may depend on your decision, and I have to know tonight, because I have to call Mr. Beckman and let him know if I can go or not.
Who's Mr. Beckman?
The Broadway producer we talked about.
Abracadabra, remember?
Lori, upstairs this minute. Laura, not now. This isn't the time.
It's never the time. You won't make a decision, and I don't have anyone else I can talk to. Well, I'll make my own decision if no one else is interested. I'm 16 and a half years old, and I'll do what I want to do.
What is this all about?
Go on out, Jack. Talk to her.
I'll take care of it. Nora is right. It's my decision.
What are you going to tell her? That she can leave school? That she can throw her future away? Is that what you want to do?
What if I'm wrong? What if she's got talent? What is it I'm supposed to say?
She can't talk to me. It's all the same family, isn't it? I'm her uncle, for God's sake.
She doesn't need an uncle tonight. She needs a father. Go on. She'll tell you.
I never learned. I wrapped my life up in Dave so much. I never learned to be their mother.
We have enough mothers here. This is a family. The world doesn't survive without families. Blanche, make me some tea. You're the only one here who makes decent tea.
Listen, I know what it's like, Nora, not to be heard.
You do?
I grew up in a family of 4 children. My father, before he died, could never remember our names. My oldest brother was the big one. I was the little one. My brother Sal was the rotten one. Eddie was the skinny one.
Who am I?
The pretty one. What's the problem?
I don't know. It doesn't seem very important now.
Well, I've never seen you cry over something that wasn't important. I know, I'm not your father. It's not my place to make decisions for you. But I can offer advice. Advice is free. If it doesn't fit, you can always return it.
Can we walk down the block?
Sure. We'll take a look at the ocean. My father always used to say, throw your problems out to sea and the answers will wash back up on the shore.
Did they?
Not in Brighton Beach. Orange peels and watermelon pits washed up. That's why it's good to take someone who knows how to give advice.
Would you stop that? I'm trying to think.
I'm glad I don't have your problems.
How'd you like an official American League baseball in your mouth?
I gotta talk to you, Stanley. I mean, a really serious, important talk.
Everybody in this house has to have a talk with somebody. Take a number off the wall and wait your turn.
I had a dream last night. It was about this girl. I can't tell you her name, but she's gorgeous. We were really kissing hard and rubbing up against each other, and I felt this tremendous buildup coming, like at the end of the 39 steps. And suddenly, there was an explosion, like a dam broke, and everything rushed and flowed out to sea. It was the greatest feeling I ever had in my life. And when I woke up, I was...
All wet.
Yeah, how did you know?
It was a wet dream. You had a wet dream. I have them all the time.
You do? You mean there's nothing wrong with you if it happens?
You never had one before?
Yeah, but I slept through it.
Didn't you ever try to do it by yourself?
What do you mean?
Didn't you ever diddle with yourself?
No, never.
Baloney! I heard you. You diddle 3-4 times a week.
You're crazy. What do you mean, diddle?
Whack off. Masturbate.
Will you be quiet? Laurie might hear you.
There's nothing wrong with it. Everybody does it. Especially at our age. It's natural.
What do you mean, everybody? You know guys who do it?
Every guy I know does it. Except Haskell Fleischman, the fat kid. He does it to the other guys.
I can't believe I'm having this conversation.
You can't grow up without doing it. Your voice won't change.
Where do you get this stuff from? Is it in a medical book or something?
It's puberty.
It's what?
Puberty. You never heard that word before? You don't read books?
Yeah, The Citadel by A.J. Cronin. He never mentioned puberty.
Even Pop did it.
Pop? Our Pop. You know what, Stanley? I think you're full of shit.
Hey, don't you use that language. Who do you think you are? You're just a kid. Never let me hear you say that word again.
I don't get you. You mean it's okay for you to say puberty, but I can't say
puberty is a scientific word. Is for those guys who hang around the beach.
But what do you expect me to say when you tell me that Pop whacks off?
I don't mean he still does it because he's married now. But when he was a kid, 14 or 15, the whole world whacks off.
President Roosevelt, too?
Rich kids are the worst. They whack off from morning till night. In college, they sit around in their dorms drinking beer and whacking off.
Stanley, this is the most useful information you ever taught me. What about girls?
5 times as much as boys.
5 times as much? Is that an actual figure? Where do you know all this stuff from?
You pick it up. You learn it. It's handed down from generation to generation. That's how our culture spread.
5 times as much as boys? Some of them don't even say hello to you, and they're home all night whacking off.
They're human, just like we are. They have the same needs and desires.
Then why is it so hard to touch their boobs?
Oh, if you were a girl, would you like some guy jumping at you and grabbing your boobs?
If I had boobs, I would love to touch them. Wouldn't you?
I got my own problems to think about.
How do girls do it?
Oh, no, I can't explain.
Oh, please, Stanley, please. I'll be your slave for a month. Tell me how they do it.
I need a pencil and paper. I'll do it later.
Here. Hey, do you want crayons? Maybe you should do it in color.
Hey, Eugene, I have a major problem in my life. I haven't got time to draw pictures of girls masturbating for you.
I'll bet Nora doesn't do it.
Boy, could I win money from you. You think she's in the bathroom 7 times a day just taking showers?
She does it in the bathroom?
I knew 2 girls who used to do it in English class. I saw a girl doing it during a final exam and got a 98 on her paper. What? Is Nora the one you were thinking about last night?
No, it was somebody else. One of the beach girls.
There was Nora! I see what's going on. I know why you dropped your napkin 12 times at dinner tonight.
She drives me crazy. I think I'm in love with her.
Yeah? Well, forget it. She is your cousin.
What's wrong with being in love with your cousin?
Because it's against the laws of nature. If she was your stepsister, it would be dirty, but it would be okay. But you can't love your own cousin. Let me give you a piece of advice. When you're going through puberty, don't start with anyone in your own house.
Who made up those rules? President Roosevelt married his cousin.
Maybe she was his second or third cousin, but you can't marry your first cousin. You get babies with 9 heads. I wish Pop would get back. I have to talk to him tonight.
I still would love to see her naked just once. There's nothing wrong with that, is there?
No. I do it all the time.
You've seen Nora naked?
Lots of times. I fix the lock on the bathroom door and then open it, pretending I didn't know anyone was in there.
I can't believe it. What a pig. What did she look like?
All I could tell you is I was pretty miserable. She was my first cousin.
That was the night I discovered lust and guilt were very closely related. I have to wash up.
Have a good time.
I don't do that.
I'm sorry. I forgot it was this Tuesday. I'll change my doctor appointment.
You don't have to change anything. The girls will be with me.
Have I ever missed a year going to the grave? Oh, Dave was my favorite in the whole family. You know that.
You realize it'll be 6 years.
Yes.
Sometimes I forget his birthday. But the day he died, I never forget.
There wasn't another one like him.
Lori asks me questions about him all the time. Was he funny? What was the funniest thing he ever said, she asked me. I couldn't remember. Isn't that awful, Kate?
Sometimes, Blanche, you talk like your life is over. You're still a young woman. You're still beautiful. If you'd ever stop squinting so much.
I went with him for 2 years before we were married. What was I waiting for? That's 2 married years I didn't have with him.
Listen, Jack's company is having their annual affair in New York next Wednesday at the Commodore Hotel. Oh. You should see how some of those women get dressed up. Jack wants you to come with us. He told me to ask you.
Me? Who do I know in Jack's company?
You'll be with us. You'll meet people. Max Green will be at our table. Now, he's the one whose wife died last year from tuberculosis. He's their number one salesman. He lives in a hotel on the Grand Concourse. He's a riot. You'll like him. Maybe you'll dance with him. What else are you going to do here every night?
I don't have a dress to wear to a thing like that.
You'll make something. Jack will get you some material. He knows everybody in the garment district.
Thank you, Kate. I appreciate it. I can't go. Maybe next year.
Next year, you won't have any eyes altogether. What are you afraid of, Blanche? Dave is dead. You're not. If God wanted the both of you, you'd be laying in the grave next to him.
I've made plans for next Wednesday night.
More important than this? They have this affair once a year.
I'm having dinner with someone.
You're having dinner? With a man? That's wonderful. Oh, why didn't you tell me?
With Mr. Murphy.
Who's Mr. Murphy? Oh, my God. I don't understand. You're going to dinner with that man. Do you know where he'll take you? To a saloon. To a bar and grill. That is where he'll take you.
You're going to Chardoff's, the Hungarian restaurant. You never even met the man. Why do you dislike him so
much? I don't have to meet that kind. I just have to smell his breath when he opens the window. Oh. What do you think a man like that is looking for? I grew up with that kind on Avenue A. How many times have Stanley and Jean come home from school black and blue from the beatings they took from those Irish hooligans? Well, what have you got to talk to with a man like that?
Is that why you don't like him? Because he's Irish? When have the Jews and the Irish ever fought a war? You know who George Bernard Shaw is?
I don't care who he is.
One of the greatest Irish writers in the world. What would you say if he took me to Chardoff's next
Wednesday? Is Mr. Murphy a writer? Tell him to bring me some of his books. I'll be glad to read them.
Kate, when are you going to give up being an older sister?
I've heard stories about him. With women. They like their women, you know. Well, if that's what you want, it's your business.
I decided to go downstairs and quiet my passion with oatmeal cookies.
We took a walk along the beach last Thursday. He hardly said a word. He's very shy, very quiet. He told me where his parents come from in Ireland. Their life wasn't any easier than Mama and Papa's in Russia.
Nobody had it like they had it in Russia.
He holds down a decent job in a printer's office, and he didn't smell of liquor, and he behaved like a perfect gentleman.
No cookies for you, Eugene. Not until you eat that liver.
You're still saving it? You mean it's going to be in the icebox until I grow up?
No cookies. Do you hear me?
I just want a glass of water.
You have water in your bathroom.
There's toothpaste in the glass. It makes me nauseous.
Listen, Blanche, there's no point discussing this. I'm going to bed. Do what you want.
Kate, I don't want to do anything that's going to make you unhappy, or Jack. I owe too much to you. I can't live off you for the rest of my life. Every decent job I've tried to get, they turn me down because of my eyes. The thought of marrying Frank Murphy hasn't even occurred to me. Maybe not even to him. But I don't think one dinner at Chardoff's is the end of the world.
I just don't want to see you get hurt. I never mean you any harm. I can take anything except when someone in the family is mad at me.
Oh. I could never be mad at you, Kate. That I promise you to my dying day.
Go on, have dinner with Frank Murphy.
No.
Oh, if Papa ever heard me say those words, he'd get up from the cemetery and stand in front of our house with a big stick.
I told him to pick me up here. Is that all right?
Here? In my house?
For 2 minutes. I wanted you to meet him. At least see what he's like.
Tell his mother to wash her windows. Maybe I'd know what he's like.
Oh. Nora. Can I see Mr. Beckman tomorrow, yes or no?
Did you talk to Uncle Jack?
I talked to Uncle Jack. I want an answer from you, Mother. Yes or no?
What did he say?
It doesn't matter what he said. It's your decision or mine. Who's going to make it, Mother?
I said if I were her father, I'd tell her to finish high school. Mm. If she's got talent, there'll be plenty of other shows. I never got past the eighth grade. That's why I spend half my life on the subway. And the other half trying to make a few extra dollars to keep this family from being out on the street.
I don't just want this for myself, Mama, but for you and for Lori. In a few years, we could have a house of our own instead of being all cooped up here like animals. We could pay Uncle Jack for what he's given us all these years. I'm asking for a way out, Mama. Don't shut me in. Don't shut me in for the rest of my life.
You promised to do what Uncle Jack said.
He doesn't make decisions. He offers advice. I want a decision, Mama. From you, please.
You finish high school. You tell Mr. Beckman you're too young. You tell him your mother said no. That's my decision.
I see. Thank you very much, Uncle Jack, for your advice. I'll let you know in the morning what my decision is, Mama.
Nora! Let it go, Blanche. You'll only make it worse.
It seems no matter what I do, I only make it worse.
What could I tell her? What could I say?
You inherit a family. You inherit their problems.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Do you want me to speak to Mom? I could tell her I was getting flutters in my heart again.
Don't you ever say that. Don't you pretend to be sick to get favors from anyone.
I'm not pretending. They're just not big flutters.
Well, good night.
Put the cookie on the table.
What cookie?
The oatmeal cookie in your pocket. Put it on the table.
You can smell an oatmeal cookie from 10 feet away?
I heard the jar moving in the kitchen. Suddenly, everybody's doing what they want in this house. Your father's upset. Aunt Blanche is upset. Put the cookie on that table!
Okay. Mm.
I heard a lot of yelling. What happened?
I don't know, but it's my fault.
Stop puffing up pillows. The house could be burning down. You'd run back in to puff up the pillows.
Let's go to bed. You're tired.
When does it get easier, Kate? When does our life get easier?
At night, when you get 7 good hours of sleep. That's the easiest it ever gets.
Close the door, Nora!
I'm sorry, I didn't know anyone was in there.
Dad, do you think I could talk to you now? It'll just take 5 minutes.
He's tired, Stanley. He's practically asleep.
2 minutes. I'll tell it as fast as I can.
Go on, Kate. Go to bed. The boy wants to tell me something.
Turn out the lights when you're through. Jack, don't worry about things. We've always made them work out.
She saw me on the crapper. Nora saw me on the crapper. I might as well be dead.
I have a problem, Pop.
If you didn't, you wouldn't live in this house.
It must be tough being a father. Everybody comes to you with their problems. You have to have all the answers. I don't know if I could handle it.
Stop trying to win me over. Just tell me the problem.
I got fired today.
What?
Don't get excited. Don't get crazy. Let me explain what happened.
What'd you do? You came in late. You were fresh to somebody. Were you fresh to somebody?
I'm not fired yet. I could still get my job back. I just need you to help me make a decision.
Take the job back. I don't care what it is. This is not the time for anybody to be out of work in this family.
When I was 12 years old, you gave me a talk about principles, remember?
All night you waited to tell me this
news? This is about principles, Pop.
How long were you going to go without telling
me? Will you at least hear my principles?
All right, I'll hear your principles. Then you'll hear mine.
Just sit back and let me tell you what happened, okay? Well, it was on account of Andrew, the colored guy who sweeps up.
So Stanley began his sad story.
Cleaning the floor.
Pop never said a word. He just sat there and listened. Stanley was terrific. It was like that movie, Abe Lincoln in Illinois. Stanley was not only defending his principles, he was defending democracy and the United States of America. Pop must have been bleary-eyed because not only did he have to deal with Stanley's principles, Nora's career, the loss of his noisemaker business, how to get Aunt Blanche married off, and Laurie's fluttering heart, but at any minute, there could be a knock on the door with 37 relatives from Poland showing up looking for a place to live. Finally, Stanley finished his story.
I know it's late. I know you're tired. But I didn't want to do anything without asking you first.
Oh, Stanley, Stanley, Stanley.
I'm sorry, Bob.
You shouldn't have swept the dirt on his shoes.
I know.
Especially in front of other people.
I know.
He's your boss. He pays your salary. His money helps put food on our dining table.
I know, Bob.
And we don't have money to waste. Believe me when I tell you that.
I believe you, Bob.
You were sick 3 days last year. He only docked you a day and a half's pay.
Remember that? I see what you're getting at. I'll write the letter. I'll do it tonight.
On the other hand, you did a courageous thing. You defended a fellow worker. Nobody else stood up for him, did they?
I was the only one.
Well, that's something to be proud of. It was what you believed in. That standing up for your principles.
That's why I didn't want to write the letter. I knew you'd understand.
The question is, can this family afford principles right now?
It would make it hard, I know.
Not just on you and me, but on your mother, on Aunt Blanche, Nora, Lori.
Eugene
would have to get a part-time job, time he should be using studying books to get himself somewhere.
He wants to be a writer. He wants to go to college.
I wish I could have sent you. I've always been sick about that, Stanley.
I like working, Pop. I really do. Listen, I made up my mind. I'm going to write the letter.
I'm not saying you should.
I know. It's my decision. I really want to write the letter.
And how will your principals feel in the morning?
My principals feel better already. You told me you were proud of what I did. That's all I really cared about.
You know something, Stanley? I don't think there's much in college they could teach you that you don't already know.
Guess who I learned it from? Thanks for talking to me, Pop. I'll see you in the morning. You coming to bed?
I think I'll sit here for a while. It's the only time of day I have a few minutes to myself.
How'd it go? Do you have to write the letter?
Yeah.
I knew that's what he'd make you do.
They didn't make me do it.
Uh-huh.
Be quiet, will you? I have to concentrate.
What are you going to say?
I don't know. You want to help me? You're good at those things.
People used to get paid for that in the old days. Professional letter writers.
I'm not going to pay you money.
I don't want money.
Then what do you want?
Tell me what Nora looked like naked.
Oh, how horny can you get?
I don't know. What's the highest score?
All right. When we finish the letter.
I don't trust you. I want to get paid first.
You know, you're a real...
Don't talk like that in front of me. I'm just a kid.
What do you want to know?
Everything from the time you opened the door.
Oh, it happened so fast. But
that's okay. Just tell it slow.
Jesus! All right. I heard the shower running. I waited for it to stop. I gave a few seconds for the water to run off her body. Then I knew she'd be stepping out of the shower. Suddenly, I just opened the door. She was standing there on the bath mat, a towel on her head, and nothing else in the whole wide world.
Slower. Don't go so fast.
Her breasts were gorgeous. Like two peaches hanging on the vine, waiting to be plucked. Maybe nectarines. Like two nectarines. All soft and pink and shining in the morning sun.
You can hear tonight's play in its entirety for 1 week only on the kpcc.org website. Broadcasts of The Play is the Thing is supported by Audiophile Magazine, a resource for audiobook listening with reviews and articles designed to help make intelligent choices in the world of audiobooks, on the web at audiophilemagazine.com. To purchase a copy of this production or to receive a catalog of L.A. Theatre Works plays, musicals, and novels, please call 1-800-708-8863 within the U.S. or visit our website at latw.org. Email your comments or questions to latw@latw.org.
This is 89.3 KPCC, Pasadena, Los Angeles, a public service of Pasadena City College, training the business professionals of tomorrow. Online at pasadena.edu.
After more than 10 years playing in Texas honky-tonks, Ray Wiley Hubbard overcame his embarrassment to ask for guitar lessons. He also faced another phobia, snakes.
The last time I drove by, and I just went, ugh, God, it just sounds nasty. And then I went, well, it is. It's a snake farm.
Ray Wiley Hubbard finds inspiration at the snake farm, Sunday on Weekend Edition from NPR News. Sunday mornings on 89.3 KPCC.
And now,
Part 2 of Neil Simon's Brighton Beach Memoirs, starring Max Casella, Valerie Harper, Jonathan Silverman, Peter Michael Getz, and Joyce Van Patten.
See your mother. She looks gorgeous.
I'm waiting for her grand entrance. How's Uncle Jack?
He's resting. He ate a nice dinner. You can go up and see him later. Eugene, your father's resting. I don't want to hear any ball playing against the wall.
I'm not playing. I'm writing.
Well, do it quietly.
She wants me to write quietly? If that was the only sentence I published in my memoirs, it would be a bestseller. Everybody's been in a rotten mood around here lately. 3 days ago, Pop had a heart attack. It was sort of a warning. He passed out in the subway, and a policeman had to bring him home. He was trying to make extra money driving a cab at nights, and he just plain wore out. The doctor says he has to stay home for 2 or 3 weeks, but Pop won't listen to him. Mr. Jacobson has a brother-in-law who needs a job. He's filling in for Pop temporarily, but Pop's afraid that 3 weeks in bed could turn into permanently.
Eugene, I have to talk to you.
What's up?
Not here. In our room. Don't tell anybody.
What's the big secret?
Will you shut up? Wait till I get upstairs, and then follow me.
If it's about Nora, I'm not interested. I forgot to tell you. I hate my cousin Nora. She's been real snotty to everybody lately. She doesn't say hello in the morning and eats her dinner up in her room. And she's been seeing this guy, Larry No Chin Klorman, every night. And she's not as pretty as I thought she was.
Eugene, did you bring your father his paper?
I'm coming. My knee hurts. I fell down the stairs at school.
Well, bring it up. Your father's waiting for it.
Yes, ma'am. If I told her I just lost both my hands in an accident, she'd say, go upstairs and wash your face with your feet. I guess she's sore because she and Pop can't go to the affair at the Commodore Hotel. They had Glenn Grain and his orchestra. I feel sorry for her because she doesn't get to go out much. And she's nervous about Frank Murphy coming over to pick up Aunt Blanche. She's angry at the whole world. That's why she's making lima beans for dinner.
Would you like a cashew, Laurie?
Oh, thanks. And a Brazil nut, too, and one almond.
You must be starved. We're having dinner late tonight. We'll wait till your mother goes out.
Ooh, can I have some nuts, Mom?
Just one. It's for the company. We're eating in the kitchen tonight. You and Stanley help with the dishes.
Yes, Mom.
You look all flushed, Laurie. You don't have a fever, do you? Let me see your tongue. It's all spotted.
That's the cashew nut.
Don't you get sick on me, too. If you're tired, I want you in bed.
I have a little stomach cramp. Maybe I'm getting my ladies.
Your what?
My ladies. The thing that Nora gets when she can't go in the water.
I don't think so. Not at your age. But if your stomach hurts real bad, you come and tell me. I made a nice tuna fish salad tonight. Call me when your mother comes down.
And Kate, does Mama like Mr. Murphy?
I don't know, darling. I don't think she knows him very well yet.
Do you like him?
I never spoke to the man.
You called him a Cossack. Are those the kind who don't like Jewish people?
I'm sure Mr. Murphy likes your mother. Otherwise, he wouldn't be taking it to dinner, huh?
If Mom married him, would we have to live in that dark house across the street with that creepy woman in the window?
We're not up to that yet. Let's just get through Chardoff's restaurant first.
Pop's feeling better. He threw the newspaper at me because I didn't bring him the evening edition.
Lock the door.
Huh? Oh. You look terrible. Your eyes are all red. You've been crying.
I'm in trouble, Huge. I mean real, real trouble.
When did you take up smoking?
I smoke in the stock room all the time. Don't let me see you do it. It's a bad habit.
So how come you do it?
I like it.
What brand do you smoke?
Lucky Strikes.
I knew you would. That's the best brand.
Swear to God, what I tell you, you'll never tell a living soul.
I take an oath on the life of the entire New York Yankees. What happened?
I lost my salary.
What?
The entire $17? It's gone. I lost it.
Where? In the subway?
In a poker game. I lost it gambling.
In a poker game?
Will you shut up? You want to kill Pop right in his bedroom?
You never told me you gambled.
We would just do it at lunch hour. For pennies. I always won. A dime, a quarter. It wasn't just luck. I was really good.
$17.
When Pop was sick, I thought I could make some extra money to help out. So I played in this game over in the stockroom at Florsheim Shoes. Boy, did I learn about poker. They cleaned me out in 20 minutes.
What are you going to tell them?
I don't know. If Pop wasn't sick, I would tell him the truth. Last week, he tells me how proud he is of me. He's driving a cab at nights, and I'm playing poker at Florsheim.
Yeah, but suppose you won. Suppose you won $50. You just had bad luck, that's all.
I had no chance against those guys. They were gamblers. They all wore black pointy shoes with clocks on their socks. If Pop dies, I'll hang myself, I swear.
Don't talk like that. Pop isn't going to die. He ate 3 lamb chops tonight. Why don't you just say you lost the money? You had a hole in your pocket. You can tear a hole in your pocket.
I already used that one.
When?
In November, when I lost $5. He said to me, from now on, check your pockets every morning.
What happened to the $5? Did you gamble that, too?
No, I gave it to a girl. You know, a pro.
Pro what? A prostitute? You went to one of those places? Holy...
I'm not going to warn you about that word again.
Is that what it cost, $5?
$2.50. I went with this guy I know. He still owes me.
And you never told me? What was she like? Was she pretty? How old was she?
Don't start in with me, Eugene.
Did she get completely naked or what?
Every time I get in trouble, I have to tell you what a naked girl looks like? Do me a favor, Eugene. Go in the bathroom, whack off, and grow up by yourself.
Don't get sore. If you were me, you'd ask the same question.
Well, I never had an older brother to teach me these things. I had to do it all on my own. You don't know how lucky you are to be the younger one. You don't have the responsibilities I do. You're still in school looking up girls' dresses on the staircase.
I work plenty hard in school.
Yeah? Well, let me see your report card. Today's the first of the month. I know you got it. I want to see your report card.
I don't have to show you my report card. You're not my father.
Yes, I am. As long as Papa's sick, I am. I'm the only one in the family who's working, ain't I?
Really? Well, where's your salary this week, Pop?
I hate you sometimes. You're nothing but a lousy... I help you all the time, and you never help me without wanting something for it. I hate your disgusting guts.
Stunned butters, I hate yours. You snore at night, you pick your toenails, you smell at the bathroom. When I go in there, I have that fiat.
Give me your report card. Give it to me, God damn it, or I'll beat your face in.
You want it? Here. Here's my lousy report card, you.
Four A's and a B. That's good. That's real good, Eugene. You're smart. I want you to go to college. I want you to be somebody important someday. Because I'm not. I'm no damn good. I'm sorry I said those things to you.
Me too. I'm sorry, too.
Oh, hi, Uncle Jack. Are you feeling better?
A little, darling. Your mother's not down yet?
No.
I want her to see her before she goes out.
Oh, my God, Jack. Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? You're walking down the stairs.
I'm all right. I was tired laying in that bed. I wanted to see Blanche.
How are you going to get upstairs? You think I'm going to carry you? The doctor said you're not even supposed to go to the bathroom, didn't he?
You trust doctors? My grandmother never saw one in her life. She lived to be 87.
She didn't have high blood pressure. She never fainted on the subway.
She used to faint 3-4 times a week. It's in our family. We're fainters. Lori, darling, go get your Uncle Jack a glass of ice water, please.
Now?
Yes, now, sweetheart.
Jack.
That child is pampered too much. You should let her do more work around the house. You don't get healthy lying on couches all day.
No, you get healthy driving cabs at night after you work 9 hours cutting raincoats. You want to kill yourself, Jack? You want to leave me to take care of this family alone? Is that what you want?
You figure I'll get better faster if you make me feel guilty? I was born with enough guilt, Katie. If I need more, I'll ask you.
Sorry. You know me. I'm not happy unless I can worry. My family were worriers. Worriers generally marry fainters.
I had to chop the ice. I'm all out of breath.
It's good for you, darling. It's exercise.
I'm going out. I won't be having dinner. I'll be home late. I have my key. Good night.
Nora, don't you want to see how your mother looks?
I'm sure she looks beautiful. She doesn't need me to tell her.
What about Mr. Murphy? I know your mother wants him to meet you and Laurie. He'll be here any minute.
I have somebody waiting for me. I can meet Mr. Murphy some other time.
I think it would be nice if you waited, Nora. I think your mother would be very hurt if you didn't wait to say goodbye.
I'm sure that's very good advice, Uncle Jack. I know just how my mother feels. I'm not so sure she knows how I feel.
Jack, what'll I do?
Leave it alone. It's between Nora and Blanche. It's something they have to work out.
Who is she going out with? Where does she go every night?
With Larry Clurman. He borrows his father's car and takes her to the cemetery.
What cemetery?
Where Daddy is buried. She goes to see Daddy.
What'll I tell Blanche? I don't want to spoil this evening for her.
Jack, what are you doing down here?
We have company coming. Where else should I be?
Oh, I'm so glad to see you up, Jack. Then you're feeling better.
That was nothing. I needed a rest, that's all. Besides, I wanted to meet this Murphy fella. A stranger comes in, he likes to meet another man. Makes him feel comfortable.
Thank you, Jack. That's very thoughtful of you.
Here. Wear this. Don't say no to me. Just put them on, Blanche, please.
Kate, your pearls. Your good pearls.
What are they going to do? Sit in my drawer all year? Pearls are like people. They like to go out, be seen once in a while.
Oh, but you were going to wear them to the affair tonight. I'm so wrapped up in myself, I forgot. Yes. You're missing the affair this year.
I can afford to miss it. I don't see Jack there the whole night anyway.
Let's see how they look.
Oh, I'm so nervous I'll lose them.
All right. Tell me I don't have a beautiful sister.
Now I feel good. Now I feel I got my money's worth.
Definitely, Carol.
Larry, go up and get Nora. I want to show them to Nora.
She's not here. She left.
What do you mean she left? Without saying goodbye?
She had to meet somebody. She wanted to wait for you.
She could have come to my room. She knew I wanted to see her.
She'll see you when you get home. You look just as good at 12 o'clock.
What did she say? Did she say anything?
You're going out. You're going to have a good time tonight.
She's making me pay for it, isn't she? She knows she can get to me so easily. That's what I get for making decisions.
I feel like ice cream for dessert. Laura, you feel like ice cream for dessert?
Butter pecan?
Butter pecan for you, maple walnut for me. Go up and tell Eugene I want him to go to the store.
I'll go with him.
Don't run, darling.
Let her run. If she gets tired, she'll tell you. Let's stop worrying about each other so much.
Eugene, your father wants us to go to the store.
Tell him I'm sick. My stomach hurts.
You don't want any ice cream?
Ice cream? Wait a minute.
It's amazing how quickly you recover from misery when someone offers you ice cream.
She's only 16, Blanche. At that age, they're still wrapped up in themselves.
How am I going to become a writer if I don't know how to suffer? Actually, I'd give up writing if I could see a naked girl while I was eating ice cream.
What time is it?
6:30. He'll be here any minute. Get your mind off Nora, Blanche. Don't wear my pearls out tonight for nothing.
Eugene, go to Hanson's. Get a half pint of butter pecan, a half pint of maple walnut,
okay.
A half pint of chocolate for yourself. Kate, what do you want?
I'm in no mood for ice cream.
Get a vanilla, she'll eat it. And whatever Stanley likes.
I need money.
Oh, I just paid the doctor $15. Go up to Stanley. He got paid today. Ask him for his salary.
What?
Here. Here's a dollar. Hurry back so Laurie can meet Mr. Murphy.
Okay.
But don't run.
Bye.
Right.
Yep.
You know what I worry about nights? That she'll run off. That I'll wake up one morning and she'll be gone to Philadelphia or Boston or God knows where.
Look how the woman's going out on a date. Is that what you're going to talk about? He'll start drinking in 5 minutes.
You think so? What'll I do if he gets drunk?
You'll come right home. Do you have any money? Do you have car fare?
No, I didn't take anything.
Wait, I'll get $5 from Stanley. Now I have something else to worry about.
I could use a cup of hot tea.
Well, sit there. I'll make it.
We'll both make it. Keep me company. We can hear the bell from the kitchen.
Stanley, are you in there? Oh, open the window. You never get any air in this room. I need $5 for Aunt Blanche. Stanley, did you get paid today?
Yes, I got paid today.
Oh, take out your money for the week. Let me have the envelope.
I don't have it.
You don't have the envelope?
I don't have the money.
What do you mean? You don't have the money?
I mean, I don't have the money. It's gone.
It's gone? Gone where?
It's just gone. I don't have it. I can't get it back. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about it anymore. Just don't ask me any more questions.
What do you mean, don't ask any more questions? I want to know what happened to $17. Stanley...
You'll tell Pop. If I tell you, you're going to tell Pop.
Why shouldn't I tell your father? Why, Stanley? I want to know what happened to that money.
I gambled it.
I lost it playing poker, all right? You happy? You satisfied now?
I'm not going to deal with this right now. I have to get Aunt Blanche out of the house first. I have your father's health to worry about. You're going to sit in this room, and you are going to think up a story. You were robbed. Somebody stole the money. I don't care who. I don't care where. That's what you're going to tell your father. Because if you tell him the truth, you'll kill that man as sure as I'm sitting here. Tonight, after he goes to sleep, you'll meet me in the kitchen, and we'll deal with this alone.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I left my purse in here. Without my glasses, I'm afraid to pour the tea. Kate, what is it? What's wrong?
Nothing. I'm just all nerves today.
Oh, you're worried about Jack. He should not have come down the stairs.
He knows he's not supposed to be out of bed. What if we need a doctor for? He doesn't listen to them.
Well, I shouldn't have asked Mr. Murphy to come over. That's the only reason he came down.
It's not Mr. Murphy. It's Stanley. It's Eugene. It's everybody.
I'm sorry about Nora. Jack told me what she said when she left.
Why don't you get your purse, Blanche? He'll be here any minute.
Did Nora say anything to hurt you, Kate? I know she's been very difficult these
days. Why is it always Nora? Why is it always your problems? Do you think you're the only one in the world who has troubles? We all have troubles. We all get our equal share.
I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm sorry.
Maybe you're stronger than I am. I don't know, Blanche. You survived Dave's death. I don't know if I could handle it. If anything happens to Jack.
He'll be all right, Kate. Nothing is going to happen to him. He's still a young man. He's strong.
When Dave died, I cried for his loss. I was so angry. Angry at God for taking such a young man. I never realized until now what you must have gone through. How did you get through it, Blanche?
I had you. I had Jack. But mostly you live for your children. Your children keep you going.
My children.
I wake up every morning for Nora and for Lori.
Nora hurts you so much, and you can still say that.
Why? Don't you think we hurt our parents? You don't remember how Mama cried when Celia left home? Sure, it hurts. But if you love someone, you forgive them.
Some things you forgive. Some things you never forgive.
Is the ice cream here yet?
No, darling. Didn't you go with Eugene?
No, I was across the street in the creepy house. It's just as creepy inside.
In Mr. Murphy's house? You were just in there? Why?
She called me from the window, the old lady. I think it's his mother. She told me she had a letter for you. I had to go inside to get it.
What did she say to you?
She offered me a cookie, but it was all green. I said I wasn't hungry.
Dear Mrs. Morton, I send regrets for my son, Frank. I tried to reach you earlier, then realized you had no phone. Frank will be unable to keep his dinner engagement with you this evening. Frank is in hospital as a result of an automobile accident last night, and although his injuries are not serious, the consequences are. As a devoted mother, I would end this letter here and forward my apologies. Despite all my son's faults, honesty and sincerity have never been his failings. He wanted me to tell you the truth, that while driving a friend's motor car, he was intoxicated and was the cause of the aforementioned accident. The truth would come out soon enough, but Frank has too much respect and fondness for you to have you hear it from some other source. I hope you will not think I'm just a doting mother when I tell you my boy has a great many attributes, a great many. As soon as Frank can get out of his difficulties here, we have decided to move to upstate New York where there is a clinic that can help Frank and where we have relatives with whom we can stay. Frank sends along with his regrets his regard for a warm, intelligent, friendly, and most delightful neighbor across the way. Yours most respectfully, Mrs. Matthew Murphy.
What is it? He's not coming. He's in the hospital. Here.
It was a sad letter, all right, but it sure was well written. Maybe I should have been born in Ireland.
I knew it. I said it right from the beginning, didn't I?
Why is he in the hospital?
He was in a car accident. Oh,
God. That poor woman.
Does that mean you're not going out to dinner?
It could have been you in that car with him. I warned you the first day about those people.
Stop calling them those people. They're not those people. She's a mother like you and me.
And what is he? Tell me what he is.
He's somebody in trouble. He's somebody that needs help. For God's sakes, Kate, you don't even know the man.
I know the man. I know what they're all like.
Oh, who are you to talk? Are we any better? Are we something so special? We're all poor around here. The least we can be is charitable.
Why? What have I got I can afford to give away? Am I the one who got you all dressed up for nothing? Am I the one who got your hopes up? Am I the one they're going to lock up in a jail somewhere?
They're going to put him in jail?
Don't talk to me about charity. Anybody else, but not me.
I never said that you weren't charitable.
All I did was try to help you. All I ever
I did was try to help you. Nobody cares for their family more than you do, but at least you can be sympathetic to somebody else in trouble.
Who should I care about? Who's out there watching over me? I did enough in my life for people. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't. Say what's on your mind, Kate. What people?
You, Celia, Papa when he was sick, everybody. Don't you ask me what people. How many beatings from Mama did I get for things that you did? How many dresses did I go without so you could look like someone when you went out? I was the workhorse, and you were the pretty one. You have no right to talk to me like that. No right!
This is all about Jack, isn't it? You're blaming me for what happened.
Why do you think that man is sick today? Why did a policeman have to carry him home at 2 o'clock in the morning so your Nora could have dancing lessons so that Lori could see a doctor every 3 weeks? Go on. Worry about your friend across the street, not the ones who have to be dragged home to keep a roof over your head.
What is this? What's going on in here?
Why didn't you ever tell me you felt that way?
I never had the time. I was too busy taking care of everyone.
What is it, Blanche? What happened?
Show him your letter.
It took all those years. It took something like that letter for you to finally get your feelings out.
I didn't need a letter. I just needed you to ask me.
Mama?
Lori, please go upstairs. This conversation is not for you.
The ice cream's ready.
Eugene, put the ice cream in the icebox. I have to talk to your mother.
Oh.
I never spoke to the woman. They lived in that house for 3 years, and I never exchanged a word with her.
What are you walking around for, Jack? If you're out of bed, at least sit in a chair.
If I could take Nora and Lori and pack them out of the house tonight, I would do it, but I can't. I have no place to take them.
Blanche, what are you talking about? Don't say such things.
If I can leave the girls with you for another few weeks, I would appreciate it until I can find a place of my own, and then I'll send for them.
You're not sending for anybody, and you're not leaving anywhere. I don't want to hear this kind of talk.
Stay out of this, Jack. Let her do what she wants.
I know a woman in Manhattan Beach. I can stay with her for a few days, and then I'll find a job. I will do anything anybody asks me, but I will never be a burden to anybody again.
Blanche, stop this. Stop it right now. What the hell is going on here, for God's sake? Two sisters having a fight they should have had 25 years ago. You want to get it out, Blanche? Get it out. Tell her what it's like to live in a house that isn't yours, to have to depend on somebody else to put the food on your plate every night. I know what it's like, because I lived that way till I was 21 years old. Tell her, Kate. Tell her what it's like to be an older sister, to suddenly be the one who has to work and shoulder all the responsibilities and not be the one who gets the affection and the hugs when you were the only one there. You think I don't see it with Stanley and Eugene, with Nora and Lori? You think I don't hear the fights that go on up in those rooms night after night? Go on, Kate. Scream at her. Yell at her. Call her names, Blanche. Tell her to go to hell for the first time in your life. And when you both get it out of your systems, give each other a hug and go have dinner. My lousy ice cream is melting, for God's sake.
I love you both very much. No matter what Kate says to me, I'll never stop loving her. But I have to get out. If I don't do it now, I'll lose whatever self-respect I have left. For people like us, sometimes the only thing we really own is our dignity. And when I grow old, I'd like to have as much as Mrs. Matthew Murphy across the street.
What did it, Kate?
Oh.
Something terrible must have happened to you tonight for you to behave like this. It wasn't Blanche. It was something else. What was it, Kate?
Tell the kids to come down in 5 minutes. We're eating in the kitchen tonight.
It was the first day in my life I didn't get blamed for what just happened. I felt real sorry for everybody, but as long as I wasn't to blame, I didn't feel all that bad about things. That's when I realized I had a selfish streak in me. I sure hope I grow out of it.
Aunt Blanche is leaving.
For where?
To stay with some woman in Manhattan Beach. She and Mom just had a big fight. She's going to send for Laurie and Nora when she gets a job.
What did they fight about?
I couldn't hear it all. I think Mom sort of blames Aunt Blanche for Pop having to work so hard.
Oh, God! Did Mom say anything about me, about how I lost my salary?
You told her? Why did you tell her?
How much money do you have?
Me? I don't have any money.
The hell you don't. You got money in your cigar box. How much you have?
I got $1.12. It's my life savings.
Let me have it. I'll pay you back. Don't worry.
What are you putting on all those things for?
In case I have to sleep out tonight. I'm leaving, Jean. I don't know where I'm going yet, but I'll write you when I get there.
You're leaving home?
When I'm gone, you tell Aunt Blanche what happened to my salary. Then she'll know why Mom was so angry. Tell her please not to leave, because it was all my fault, not Mom's. Will you do that?
I have 8 cents worth of stamps, if you want that, too.
Thanks. What's this?
It's the medal you won for the 100-yard dash 2 years ago.
From the Police Athletic League. I didn't know you still had this.
You gave it to me. You can have it back if you want it.
It's not worth anything.
It is to me.
Sure. You can keep it.
Thanks. Where will you go?
I don't know. I've been thinking about joining the Army. Pop says we'll be at war in a couple of years anyway. I could be a sergeant or something by the time it starts.
If it lasts long enough, I could join too. Maybe we could get in the same outfit.
You don't go in the Army unless they come and get you. You go to college. You hear me? Promise me you'll go to college.
I'll probably have to stay home and work if you leave. We'll need the money.
I'll send home my paycheck every month. A sergeant in the Army makes real good dough. Well, I better get going.
What do you have to leave for?
Don't start crying. They'll hear you.
They'll get over it. They will stay mad at you forever. I was mad at you when I got over
it. Because of me, the whole family is breaking up. Do you want Nora to end up like one of those cheap boardwalk
girls?
Oh,
I don't care. I'm not in love with Nora anymore.
Well, you should care. She's your cousin. Don't turn out to be like me.
I was feeling so bad about you.
Take care of yourself, Huge. If you ever write a story about me, call me Hank. I always liked the name Hank.
I guess there comes a time in everybody's life when you say, this very moment is the end of my childhood. When Stanley closed the door, I knew that moment had come to me. I was scared. I was lonely. And I hated my mother and father for making him so unhappy. Even if they were right, I still hated them. I even hated Stanley a little because he left me there to grow up all by myself.
Eugene, Glory, it's dinner. I'm not waiting all night.
And I hated her for leaving Stanley's name out when she called us for dinner. I don't think parents really know how cruel they can be sometimes. At dinner, I tried to tell them about Stanley, but I just couldn't get the words out. I left the table without even having my ice cream. If it was suffering I was after, I was beginning to learn about it.
It's 10 o'clock. Why is Stanley so late?
Never mind, Stanley. You should have been in bed an hour ago.
Why won't you tell me what happened between you and that boy?
I'm tired, Jack. I've had enough to deal with for one day.
Well, I want him to go to temple with me on Saturday. They stop going for 3 or 4 weeks. They forget their religion altogether.
The house became quieter than I ever heard it before. Aunt Blanche was in her room packing. Pop and Mom were in their bedroom, and I had to talk to somebody or else I'd go crazy. I didn't have much choice.
Lori, it's Eugene. Can I come in?
What do you want? I'm reading.
I just want to talk to you.
I didn't say yes, did I?
Well, I'm already in, so it's too late. Huh. What are you reading?
The Citadel by A.J. Cronin.
Oh, I read it. It's terrific. Uh-huh.
I hear your mother's leaving in the morning.
We're going too, as soon as she finds a job.
I can't believe it. I'm going to be the only one left here.
You mean you and Stanley?
Stanley's gone. He's not coming back. I think he's going to join the army.
You mean he ran away?
No. Only kids run away. When you're Stanley's age, you just leave.
He didn't say goodbye?
My parents don't even know about it. I'm going to tell them now.
I wonder if I'll have to go to a different school.
You'll have to make all new friends.
I don't care. I don't have any friends here anyway.
It's because you're always in the house. You never go out.
I can't because of my condition.
You don't look sick to me. Do you feel sick?
No, but my mother tells me I am.
I don't trust parents anymore.
Why would you lie to me?
To keep you around. Once they find out Stanley's gone, they're going to handcuff me to my bed.
I wouldn't leave my mother anyway. Even when I'm older, even if I get married, I'll never leave my mother.
Yeah? Mr. Murphy across the street never left his mother, and he ended up going to jail.
None of this would have happened if my father was alive.
How did you feel when he died?
Well, I don't remember. I cried a lot because I saw my mother cry.
I would hate it if my father died. Especially with Stanley gone. We'd probably have to move out of this house.
Well, then you and your mother could come live with us.
So, if we all end up living together, what's the point in breaking up now?
I don't know. I have to finish reading.
You don't get too far talking to Lori. Sometimes I think the flutter in her heart is really in her brain. I went into my parents' bedroom and broke the news about Stanley. The monumental news that their eldest son had run off, probably to get killed in France, fighting for his country. My mother said, "Go to bed. He'll be home when it gets cold out." I couldn't believe it. Their own son. It was then that I suspected that Stanley and I were adopted. They finally went to bed, and I waited out on the front steps until it got cold. But Stanley never showed up.
I wanted to talk to you.
Now? It's late.
I know it's late. We could have talked earlier if you didn't come home at 12 o'clock at night. Come out on the porch.
How was your dinner?
I didn't go. Mr. Murphy was in an accident.
I'm sorry. Is he all right?
He's got his problems, like the rest of us. I was very hurt that you left tonight without saying goodbye.
I was late. Someone was waiting for me.
So was I. You knew it was important to me.
I'm not feeling very
well. You purposely left without seeing me. You've never done that before.
Can we talk about this in the morning?
I won't be here in the morning.
And tomorrow night?
I'm leaving, Nora. I'm moving out in the morning.
What are you talking about?
Aunt Kate and I had a fight tonight. We said some terrible things to each other, things that have been bottled up since we were children. I'm going to stay with my friend Louise in Manhattan Beach until I can find a job, and then I'll send for you and Lori.
Can't believe it. You mean it's all right for you to leave us, but it wasn't all right for me to leave you.
I was never concerned about you leaving me. It was your future I was worrying about.
It was my future. Why can't I have something to say about it?
Maybe I was wrong. I don't know. I never made the decisions for the family. Your father did. Everyone always took care of me. My mother, my sisters, my father. Even you and Lori. I've been a very dependent person all my life.
Maybe that's all I'm asking for. To be independent.
You earn your independence. You don't take it at the expense of others. Would that job even be offered to you if somebody in this family hadn't paid for those dancing lessons? Kept a roof over your head, clothes on your back? If anyone's going to pay Uncle Jack, it'll be me. Doing God knows what, I don't know. But one thing I'm sure of. I'll steal before I let a daughter of mine show that man 1 ounce of ingratitude or disrespect.
So I have to give up the one chance I may never get again? Is that it? I'm the one who has to pay for what you couldn't do with your own life?
What right have you got to judge me like that?
Judge you? I can't even talk to you. I don't exist to you. I tried so hard to get close to you, but there was never any room. Whatever you had to give went to Daddy. And when he died, whatever was left, you gave to...
What? What? Finish what you were going to say.
I've been jealous my whole life of Lori because she was lucky enough to be born sick. I could never turn on a light in my room at night or read in bed because Lori always needed her precious sleep. I could never have a friend over on the weekends because Lori was always resting. I used to pray I'd get some terrible disease or get hit by a car so I'd have a leg all twisted or crippled. And then once, maybe just once, I'd get to crawl into bed next to you on a cold, rainy night and talk to you and hold you till I fell asleep in your arms. Just once. Yeah.
God, Nora. Is that what you think of me?
Is it any worse than what you think of me?
I'm not going to let you hurt me, Nora. I'm not going to let you tell me that I don't love you or that I haven't tried to give you as much as I gave Lori. God knows I'm not perfect because enough angry people in this house told me so tonight, but I'm not going to be a doormat for all the frustrations and unhappiness that you or Aunt Kate or anyone else wants to lay at my feet.
Mama.
I did not create this universe. I do not decide who lives or dies or who's rich or poor or who feels loved or who feels deprived. If you feel cheated that Lori gets more than you, then I feel cheated that I had a husband who died at 36. And if you keep on feeling that way, you'll end up like me, with something much worse than loneliness or helplessness, and that's self-pity. Believe me, there's no leg that's twisted or bent that's more crippling than a human being who thrives on his own misfortunes.
Mama.
I'm sorry, Nora, that you feel unloved. I'll do everything I can to change it, except apologize for it. I'm tired of apologizing.
Mama.
After a while, it becomes your life's work, and it doesn't bring any money in the house. If it's taken your pain and Aunt Kate's anger to get me to start living again, then God will give me the strength to make it up to you. But I will not go back to being that frightened, helpless woman that I created. I've already buried someone I love. Now it's time to bury someone I hate.
I didn't ask you to hate yourself. I just asked you to love me.
I do, Nora. Oh, God, why can't I make that clear to you?
I feel so terrible.
Why?
Because I think I hurt you. And I still want that job with Mr. Beckman.
I know you do.
But I can't have it, can I?
How can I answer that without you thinking I'm still depriving you?
I don't know. Maybe you just did.
I hope so, Nora. I pray to God it's so.
I heard voices and didn't know who it was.
I'm sorry if we woke you. Go on up to bed, Nora. We'll talk again in the morning.
All right.
Good night, Aunt Kate. Good night, Nora.
Is she all right?
Yes.
She's not angry anymore.
No, Kate. No one's angry anymore. I just explained everything to Nora. The girls will help you with the housework while I'm gone. Lori is strong enough to do her share. I've kept her being a baby long enough.
They've never been any trouble to me, those girls. Never.
I'll try to take them on weekends if I can. It's late. We could both use a good night's sleep.
Blanche, don't go. I feel badly enough for what I said. Don't make me feel any worse.
Everything you said to me tonight was true, Kate. I wish to God you'd said it years ago.
What would I do without you? Who else do I have to talk to all day? What friends do I have in this neighborhood? Even the Murphys across the street are leaving.
Oh, you and I never had any troubles before tonight, Kate. It's the girls I'm thinking of now. We have to be together, the three of us. It's what they want as much as I do.
Oh, right. I'm not saying you shouldn't have it, but you're not going to find a job overnight. Apartments are expensive. Why are you looking? Why do you have to live with strangers in Manhattan
Beach? Louise isn't a stranger. She's a good friend.
To me, good friends are strangers, but sisters are sisters.
I'm afraid of becoming comfortable here. If I don't get out now, when will I ever do it?
The door is open. Go whenever you want. When you got the job, when you find the apartment, I'll help you move. I can look with you. I know how to bargain with these landlords.
You wouldn't mind doing that?
Oh, they see a woman alone, they take advantage of you. I'll find out what they're asking for the Murphy place. It couldn't be expensive. She never cleaned it.
How independent can I become if I live right across the street?
Far enough away for you to close your own door, and close enough for me not to feel so lonely.
Okay.
Oh.
If I lived on the moon, you would still be close to me, Kate.
I'll tell Jack he wouldn't go to sleep until I promised to come up with some good news.
I suddenly feel so hungry.
Of course, you haven't had dinner. Come on, I'll fix you some scrambled eggs.
I'll make them. I'm an independent woman now.
With your eyes, you'll never get the eggs in the pan.
So Aunt Blanche decided to stay while she was looking for a job. Nora went back to school the next morning, gave me a big smile, and her legs looked as creamy white as ever. Lori was asked to take out the garbage, but she quickly got a flutter in her heart, so I had to do it. Life was back to normal.
Eugene, go to Greenblatt's. I need flour.
How much? A teaspoonful?
Stanley didn't come home that night, and even though Mom didn't say anything, I knew she was plenty worried. She told Pop how Stanley lost the money playing poker, and from the sounds coming out of their room, I figured Stanley should forget about the army and try for the Foreign Legion. And then, all of a sudden, the next night about dinner time, he came back. I was never so happy to see anyone in my whole life.
Hi. Where's Mom and Pop?
Mom's in the kitchen cooking. Pop's upstairs with his prayer book. They figured if God didn't bring you home, maybe your potato pancakes would. What happened? Didn't you join up?
I came pretty close. I passed the physical, 1, 2, 3.
I knew you would.
They were giving me cigarettes, donuts, the whole sales pitch. I mean, they really wanted me.
I'll bet.
But then, just as I was about to sign my name, I stopped cold. I put down the pen and said, I'm sorry, maybe some other time, and walked out.
How come?
Couldn't do it to Pop. Right now, he needs me more than the army does. I knew Mom didn't really mean it when she said she'd never forgive me for losing the money. But if I walked out on the family now, maybe she never would.
Gee, I thought you'd be halfway to training camp by now. But I'm real glad you're home, Stan.
Eugene, I need a pint of sweet cream and some more sugar.
Stanley's home.
Hello, Mom.
Get a 2-pound bag. I want to bake a chocolate cake.
A 2-pound bag from Greenblatt's? I'll need identification.
Are you staying for dinner, Stanley?
I'm staying as long as you let me stay.
Why wouldn't I let you stay? This is your home. Your father's been very worried. I think you owe him some sort of explanation.
I was just about to do that.
Stanley.
I'm sorry about not coming home last night, Pop. I know it was wrong. I just didn't know how to tell you about the money. I know it doesn't help to say I'll never do it again because I won't. I swear, never. I got $3. Last night, I went over to Dominic's bowling alley and I set pins till midnight. And I could make another 6 on the weekend. So that makes 9. I'll get the $17 back, Pop. I promise. I'm not afraid of hard work. That's the one thing you taught me. Hard work and principles. That's the code I'm going to live by for the rest of my life. So, if you have anything you want to say to me, I'd be very glad to listen.
Did you read the paper tonight, Stanley?
No, Pop.
There's going to be a war, a terrible war, Stanley.
I know,
Pop. The biggest war this world has ever seen, and it frightens me. We're still not over the last one yet. Already they're starting another one.
We don't talk about it much in the store because of Mr. Stroheim being German and all.
My brother Michael was killed in the last war. I've told you that.
You showed me his picture in uniform.
He was 19 years old. The day he left, he didn't look any older than Eugene. He was killed the second week he was overseas.
I know.
Yeah, well, they didn't take me because I was 16 years old. Both parents were dead, and I lived with my Aunt Rose and Uncle Maury. They had 2 sons in the Navy, both of them wounded, both of them decorated.
Uncle Leon and Uncle Paul, right?
My brother would have been 45 years old this month. He was a handsome boy. Good athlete, good dancer, good everything. I idolized him. Like Eugene idolizes you.
No, he doesn't.
He does, believe me. I hear him outside talking to his friends. My brother this, my brother that. Well, brothers can talk to each other the way fathers and sons never do. I never knew a thing about girls till my brother taught me. Isn't it like that with you and Eugene?
Yeah, I tell him a few things.
That's good. I'm glad you're so close. I missed all that when Michael went away. That's why I'm glad you didn't do anything foolish last night. I was afraid you might run away. I hear you talking with Eugene sometimes about the army. That day will come soon enough, I'm afraid.
I did think about it. It was on my mind.
Don't you know, Stanley, there's nothing you could ever do that was so terrible I couldn't forgive you?
I know why you gambled. I know how terrible you feel. It was foolish. You know that already. I've lost money gambling in my time. I know what it's like.
You did?
You're so surprised? You think your father's a perfect human being? Someday I'll tell you some other things I did that wasn't so perfect. Not even your mother knows. If you grow up thinking I was perfect, you'll hate yourself for every mistake you ever make. Don't be so hard on yourself. That's what you got a mother and father to do.
You're not hard on me. You're always fair.
I try to be. You're a good son, Stanley. You don't even realize that. We have men in our cutting room who haven't spoken to their sons in 5, 6 years. Boys who have no respect for anyone, including themselves. Who haven't worked a day in their lives. Who brought their parents a single day's pleasure. Thank God I could never say that about you, Stanley.
I gambled away $17 and you're telling me how terrific I am.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't get the wrong idea. If you were home last night when your mother told me, I would have thrown you and your clothes out the window. Now, today, I'm calmer. Today, I read the newspaper. Today, I'm afraid for all of us.
I understand.
After dinner tonight, you apologize to your mother and give her the $3.
I will.
And apologize to your Aunt Blanche because she was worried about you, too.
I will.
And you can thank your brother as well. He came into my bedroom this afternoon and told me how badly you felt. He was almost in tears himself. The way he pleaded your case, I thought I had Clarence Darrow in the room.
Eugene's a terrific kid.
All right. Go wash up and get ready for dinner. And tonight, you and I are going out in the backyard, and I'm going to teach you how to play poker.
Terrific.
Is Eugene back yet?
No, Mom.
You look tired. Did you get any sleep?
I got enough. I slept at a friend's house. Can I talk to you after dinner, Mom?
Where am I going? To a nightclub?
I'll wash up and be right down.
Stanley, you didn't join anything, did you?
No, Mom.
You got time yet?
Yes, Mom.
It's all right. Everything is all right.
Who said it wasn't? Didn't I say he'd be home? Lori, call your sister. Time to set the table.
I just broke the world's record to Greenblatt's. Next year, I'm entering the grocery store Olympics. Here's some mail for you, Pop.
Is that my sweet cream?
Never spilled a drop. The perfect run. Where's Stanley?
He's cleaning up. Oh, my God. I've got jury duty next week.
In the family?
Yeah, everything's great.
Terrific. Hey, you want to take a walk on the boardwalk tonight, see what's doing?
I can't tonight. I'm busy.
Doing what?
I'm playing poker.
Poker? Are you serious?
Yeah, right after dinner.
I don't believe you.
I swear to God, I got a poker game tonight.
You're crazy. You're genuinely crazy, Stanley. If you lose, I'm not sticking up for you this time.
If you don't tell anybody, I'll give you a present.
What kind of present?
Are you gonna tell?
No. What's my present?
Here. It's for you. Don't leave it lying around the room.
What is it?
Open it slowly. Slower than that. Here. Close your eyes. Now look.
Oh, my God. She's naked! You can see everything.
Oh, your voice. You want to get caught with a thing like that?
Where did you get it? Who is she?
She's French. That's how all the women are in Paris.
I can't believe I'm looking at this. You mean some girl actually posed for this? She just laid there and let some guy take a picture?
Lori, it belongs to the guy who owes me $2.50. I could keep it till he pays me back.
Don't take the money. Let him keep it for a while.
That's my appreciation for being a good buddy.
Anytime you need a favor, just let me know.
Put it in a safe spot. Come on. It's dinner.
In a minute. I'll be down in a minute.
Kate! Where's Kate?
Don't run. You're always running.
It's a letter from London. My cousin Sholem got out. They got out of Poland. They're free, Kate.
Thank God!
His wife, his mother, all 4 children. They're sailing for New York tomorrow.
Oh.
They'll be here in a week.
In a week? Do they speak English?
I don't think so. A few words, maybe. They had to sell everything. They took only what they could carry.
Where will they stay?
Well, I'll have to discuss it with the family. Some with Uncle Leon, Uncle Paul.
With us. We can put some beds in the dining room. It's easier to eat in the kitchen anyway.
The little ones can stay with Lori. Nora can sleep with me, can't you, dear?
Of course, Mama.
Don't worry about money, Pa. I'm going to hit Mr. Stroheim for that raise.
They got out. That's all that's important. They got out.
Eugene! We're all waiting for you!
Be right there. I just have to write something down.
October the 2nd, 6:25 p.m. A momentous moment in the life of I, Eugene Morris Jerome. I have seen the Golden Palace of the Himalayas. Puberty is over. Onwards and upwards.
That was Brighton Beach Memoirs by Neil Simon. Starring, in alphabetical order, Max Casella as Eugene, Peter Michael Getz as Jack, Valerie Harper as Kate, Alexana Lombros as Laurie, Anna-Sophie Lowenberg as Nora, Jonathan Silverman as Stanley, and Joyce Van Patten as Blanche. The director was Gordon House. Recording engineer, Theo Mondel. Stage management and sound effects, Wendell Sueda. Brighton Beach Memoirs was a BBC co-production. Join us next week for Murder in the First by Dan Gordon, starring Edward Asner, John Randolph, Ari Gross, and David Burney. This moving courtroom drama is based on a true incident that exposed the shocking conditions on Alcatraz and led to the closure of the notorious prison. The tale begins when 18-year-old Willie Moore makes the biggest mistake of his life, stealing $5 from a rural store that happens to contain a post office. Charged with mail robbery, he's sent to federal prison and ultimately spends 3 years in solitary on the dreaded island of Alcatraz. That's Murder in the First, next week on The Play's the Thing. I'm Susan Lowenberg. Thanks for joining us.
This was a production of LA Theater Works. Broadcasts of The Play's the Thing are made possible in part through the generous support of the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art, along with the many friends and contributors who are the producing partners of LA Theater Works. Major support for the production of plays for our 2005-2006 season is provided by the Peter Glenville Foundation. LA Theater Works productions and programs are supported with the help of the Capital Group Company's Charitable Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, and the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors through the Los Angeles County Arts Commission. To purchase a copy of this production or to receive a catalog of LA Theater Works plays, musicals, and novels, please call 1-800-708-8863 within the U.S. or visit our website at latw.org. Email your comments or questions to latw@latw.org. The Beverly Hilton Hotel is the official hotel for The Play's the Thing. Susan Rob Simonson and Brendan Fox are the associate producers. Susan Lowenberg is the executive producer. Editing and recording by Dennis Contreras at Voicebox Studios. The Play's the Thing radio series is produced by Mark Ward and Kathleen Chapin. You can hear tonight's play in its entirety for 1 week only on the kpcc.org website.
This is 89.3 KPCC, Pasadena, Los Angeles, a public service of Pasadena City College, number one in the nation in associate degrees awarded to Asian American students, online at pasadena.edu.
This is the BBC in Vancouver.
This is the BBC in Belgrade.